1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and start in verse 1 and we'll go through 10. 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 1 through 10 and we'll park in 5 for today's message. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. You know how we lived among you for your benefit, and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord, when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, for the word of the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to live, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Father, we're so very, very grateful today to be sharing from a portion of your word. Father, I'm thankful to be speaking here at the Eastwood East Campus. And Father, we pray that as we study these four gospel essentials, that we can be reminded of the power in the gospel and how the Holy Spirit moves us and empowers us to go, how it gives us boldness, even though some of us may be introverts. Father, I pray that as we go, that we can be praying for opportunities to share the gospel, that we can see the soil is fertile, it's everywhere, and people are willing to hear the good news of the gospel. Father, I'm thankful for this church family and how they love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today what I want to do is I want to park really in verse 5 here, talk about these four gospel essentials. And as we look at the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, I want to just challenge you on two things. Number one, be reminded that, that he's looking at this book and these people, and he's writing to them with a spirit of fondness. Right? Thank you for all that you're doing. You know, I remember my time with you. You know, when we ministered to others, when we saw people come to faith, when we saw this church in this city planted, when people were turning from idols and turning to Christ, and we saw the Holy Spirit working, and we were bold with this. Thank you for this. I'm talking with fondness. I shared with the earlier group that our Bible study class is still, we're meeting on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock using Zoom. We're studying the book of Galatians. And that poor church in Galatia, those folks, they are getting an absolute beating from Paul. The first chapter, remind yourself and go read chapter 1 of Galatians. He is absolutely giving them a smackdown, right? Y'all are preaching the gospel, but it's the wrong gospel. It's Jesus plus, right? And so here's Paul talking to the Thessalonians saying, "Hey, I love you guys. Look what you've done. You've been faithful to the gospel message." So he's talking with fondness. Number two, he wants to address some issues in the church. And he does talk about sexual conduct, about brotherly love. He answers questions about the dead, right? You know, they've died. Questions about Jesus' return. But one of the major themes of this book is that the gospel message that Paul preached is authentic. Right? That's all we need is the gospel message. Isn't that amazing that right back then in the first century when Paul was preaching from 35 to 60-something, right? That's what he had. And that's what he preached. All those many years, that's what he preached. And now today, when Toby goes to McDonald's or when you all go to the, I called it an earlier service, the Walmarts. Do y'all call it the Walmarts? When you go to the Walmarts and there's the person sitting on the bench and your wife's shopping. Y'all don't do that. You shop with your wife. But the person sitting on the bench and you can share with them that same gospel message that Paul was preaching in the first century. Right? And the power to save in the first century is the power to save now. And that's the gospel message, and that's Paul's and encouraging with that. So today we're going to look at four components of the gospel essentials. They are the seed, the spirit, the sower, and the soil. And we see all those in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, with full assurance. Let's go ahead and look at the seed, the gospel seed. He says in verse 5, the gospel came to you not only in word, but in power. The gospel, another word for the gospel, another few phrases are the good news. Do you guys like to use that? Right? I'm sharing the good news with people. It's good news, isn't it? The gospel is the best news. It can be great tidings, things like that. But the reason it's good news or the reason it's good tidings is why? Because there's bad news, right? And it's not just bad news. It's really bad news, right? The reality of Scripture is that we've all transgressed against God. Every single one of us has sinned against God. We've offended Him, right? We are offensive to Him. And when we look at God in His perfection, He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely righteous. He's absolutely just. And then there's us, right? And then there's me, way over here. Amen? That's right, Brother Toby. You're terrible. I am, right? And we are too, all of us. And so because God is just and because God is righteous, He has to punish us. Because He's good, because He's just, and because He's holy. So the good news is that Jesus came to die for our sin. Friends, if you're like me, you've got plenty for Him to die for, right? There's a lot there. We were born in sin. We were born in iniquity. But the gospel seed is good news, but we have to include the bad news to go with it. We can't forget the bad news. And what we often do when we share the good news of the gospel is that we just tell somebody, Jesus loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And then off we go. Right? Well, why does He love me? What is this plan that He has for my life? Why do I got to even deal with it, right? Why can't I just go about doing what I'm doing? I think I'm pretty decent. And we have to show folks from Scripture who Jesus is, why He had to come, and why we need to receive Him by faith and by faith alone. People are inherently bad, and so we need to kind of go there, right? Everybody can relate to that. When I go to WKU and on their main campus, when I'm going and working with the BCM a little bit, I'll go and witness to some of the students, and I'll ask them, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect and 1 being just absolutely wretched, where do you think you are? Just about everybody says like 6 through 8. I'm a 7 or an 8, right? What they're saying is I'm not that bad. There's some good in me. And here's what the Bible says about it. You don't need to turn there. Just listen. I'm going to talk fast. Psalm 51:5. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Right from the start. I've got kids. Some of you all have kids. They are sinning machines. Right? You don't have to teach them how to be hungry. You don't have to teach them how to use the restroom. You don't have to teach them how to scream. And you don't have to teach them how to sin. Right? One of the first things my daughter did was lie. Imagine that, right? They just do, right? When you're in the back seat, what do they do in their little car seat? They're kicking your seat because it drives you nuts and you can't hardly reach them, right? Proverbs 29 says, who can say I have kept my heart pure? I am cleansed from sin. It's rhetorical. Who can say that? Nobody. Oh, I'm totally righteous. Yeah, sure you are. We've seen you in the parking lot. You know, Romans 2:12. All who sin without the law will perish without the law. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. If you're under the law, you're a sinner. If you're without the law, you're a sinner. We're all the same. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody, all of us. Yes, grandma and grandpa, sweet uncle, that little old lady across the street, all of us. And we need to share that while we're sharing the good news of the gospel. Friends, if we're changed, if the gospel has changed us, we're different, right? We have a desire to love people. We have a desire to share the good news of the gospel. Listen to what John says about this in John 7, or Jesus says in John 7, starting in 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as Scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. Friends, if we have streams of living water flowing from out of us, people will know. But we can't share the gospel just by streams of living water flowing. Like, oh, look at the streams of that guy, right? We should get saved. It doesn't work, right? These streams of living water propel us to go and share the good news of the gospel. It propels us to go and love our neighbor. It propels us to be bold with the gospel. And what we've done with the seed is we've enhanced it a little bit. And here's a few ways we've done that. There's a spiritually enhanced seed, right? There's salvation equals Christ plus a gift you have, right? So it's the gift and Jesus equals you're saved. And we like to throw that out there. Another one, which is more popular in our society, it's the one that Paul was battling in Galatians, is the works enhanced seed. This is probably worse. It's Jesus and me, right? Look at all the good things I've done, Jesus. I'm going to church. And this is what people say when I talk to them. I was sharing with a brother a while ago. I like to ask folks two questions when I'm evangelizing. Number one, would you consider yourself a Christian? Everybody says yes in the South, right? And I know they're going to say that, so I'm kind of setting them up, right? Everybody says yes. Number two, I say, okay, as a professing Christian, can you tell me really quickly, just real short, what's the gospel? And this is where you kind of get into it a little bit, right? That's where they kind of walk off. You know, I don't want to talk anymore, right? But this is where the works come in. The gospel is that I've been baptized. The gospel is that I go to church. The gospel is that mama and grandmama read to me. The gospel is I've got the family Bible. The gospel is that I'm a pretty good person. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came to die for sinners such as you and I. Jesus is perfect. He died on a cruel cross that we should have died on, that he rose again on the third day that he said he was going to do, and he lives in heaven today to save us for our sins and for us to be with him forever if we're born again. It's not baptism. It's not anything that you do. This works enhanced seed. So that's the seed. Number two is the Spirit. The gospel came to you not only in word but in power and in the Holy Spirit. The power from the gospel not comes from a slick preacher. The power from the gospel doesn't come from a slick gospel presentation. I was telling the earlier group that I am an absolute introvert. When I'm done today and I go home and I do my Bible study on Zoom, I'm taking a nap. Because when I get done preaching one service, it feels like I worked 12 hours. And a lot of it's just the anxiety that I'm talking to folks, right? Does anybody else have that? Like, I would die if I had to talk to folks, right? And I was telling the earlier group, for the first 2 years of preaching, I got sick for 4 days before I preached every single time. Every single time. The power is not from Toby. The power is not how slick I can speak. The power comes from the gospel. And people will try to derail us, and we need to go back to the gospel. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, "You yourselves became imitators of us and the Lord when in spite of severe persecution, which we don't have, you welcomed the message with joy from whom?" The Holy Spirit. It wasn't from, you know, this is my message, right? This is I can have this and no one else has it. But from the Holy Spirit, and as a result, you became an example to the believers in Macedonia, in Achaia. Friends, witnessing without the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit is extremely difficult. In fact, most of us won't do it. Before I witness to somebody, 9 times out of 10, I get kind of like some anxiety, and I'm on the evangelism team at the KBC, all right? I've got to go, okay, Lord, I can't, you know, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to lead into this? Okay, what's some commonalities I can have with this person that I can love them with the gospel? Please give me more than 30 seconds where I can just chuck a tract at them and go, right? Let me have a gospel conversation with this person. So we have the seed, we have the Spirit, and we have the sower, and then finally we have the soil, but I'm going to stop here at the sower. Of the four, this is the one where the problem is. There's no problem with the seed. The seed's fine. The Spirit's fine. The soil's fine, right? Because we're all sinners. We've registered that. There's plenty of soil. In Warren County from 2012, the study that I read said there's 114,000 people in here, and about 16% of those go to church, right? And we all know that folks, that not everybody in church is born again, right? So the soil's plentiful. Where's the problem? It's with the sower. It's with me, right? And it's with you. Listen to how Paul describes the gospel. He says, "Our gospel, for we..." He's personalized this gospel. It's passionate to him. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, he says, our gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3, he says again, our gospel. In Romans 2:16, he says, my gospel. And in 2 Timothy 2:8, he talks about my gospel. Friends, it's personal. Jesus has changed me. He's done a work in my life. He's taken my sin away, and he's replaced it with his righteousness. Friends, if you're born again, he has done the same for you. And don't you think that we're different? Right? Don't you think that we want to, okay, Lord, you've changed me. How do you want me to be? How do you want me to go and do these things? The sower. Some have understood the sower, the seed sower, to be programmatic. And if the church isn't doing a program, guess what? I ain't doing nothing. It's the pastor's fault. He didn't organize nothing, so I don't have to do anything. Some understand the sower as a gift. Friends, when I read the New Testament, I don't see the gift of evangelism. It's not in there. The gift is the evangelist in Ephesians chapter 4. The evangelist is there to empower and to teach and encourage the church. If you've been born again, Jesus is calling you to evangelize. Matthew 4:19, Matthew 28:18 through 20. All of us are supposed to share the gospel. Some of us are better. Some of us are more confident, right? I look at some of the guys on my team and I'm like, man, I wish I could be like that dude. He does a great job and I fumble and I'm scared and he just acts like he goes, you know, whatever. Church, we can't focus just on the pastor to do the work. If we want to see our neighbors and our community impacted for the gospel, we have got to go out and share the gospel. Start with a gospel tract and just give it to somebody. Here, read this, and then run, right? Do that for 6 months, and you'll be like, well, nobody hurt me, right? Maybe I can say something. Can I read this to you, right? And then kind of work in like that. Set the bar low, and then go up. The soil is the finest, final one, and we're going to close with this. He says, I come to you. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. I come to you. Before they were the church, they were lost folks, and he came to them, and he shared the good news of the gospel with this in the soil. When I talk to pastors, their biggest complaint is that I don't have time outside the office to share the good news of the gospel. Another complaint from pastors is, when we have events, nobody comes. And y'all, I've been to those events. I've driven as a KBC person 2 hours to something, and three people will show up. And then the pastor or the DOM is just apologizing. Man, I'm so sorry you came, whatever. I'm like, dude, if there's one here, let's go, right? If there's no one here, let's me and you go evangelize, right? Let's go share the gospel, right? But we use those excuses. Church members use excuses like this. I've never been trained. I don't know what to say to folks. And this is the one that gets me. I don't know any lost people. I won't say this to your face. But since I'm up here and I don't know you, I'll say it as a collective group. I'll say, are you kidding me? Have you been to the Walmarts? Have you seen your neighbors? Right? Right? Have you been to the post office? Do you know people? If you know people and you can see people, you know lost people. You might say, well, I'm homebound and I'm never leaving the house. Go to needhim.org and you can share the gospel virtually. When I do that two or three times a week in the afternoon for about an hour, I get to share with people from England all the time because that's their bedtime and they're logging in wanting to know about Jesus, and I get to share the gospel right from my computer, right at home. The soil for gospel seed is everywhere, and the soil is the only medium in which the sower can place the spirit-empowered seed in which to grow. We have got to be going out into the soil and to do that. And friends, we have lost people in our church, and if you're asking yourself, how do I share the gospel in church? I want to challenge you, maybe two or three or four times this year, go up to somebody you don't know, say, hey, my name's Toby. I don't really know you. I've seen you across the aisle over here. I've never heard your story. Can you tell me how you came to Christ? You'll find people who don't know how to articulate the gospel. And then guess what? Share it, right? Share the good news of the gospel right here in church. Friends, I want to close with this plea. If you're here today and you're born again, take stock of what 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 is. Says, understand the gospel seed. There's nothing wrong with the gospel seed, right? We all know what the gospel is. If you've been born again, you understand that you've sinned against God, that we admit our sin. We understand that God sent Jesus to die for us. We confess him as Lord, and guess what? His Holy Spirit changes us, and we want to walk as a disciple of his, right? So I want to encourage you, that gospel seed, the Spirit empowers you. You're the sower, and that soil is absolutely plentiful as we go. If you're here today and you're not born again, I want to encourage you to get with one of the pastors here. I'm going to hang out for just a minute. I'd love for you to chat with me. Say, Toby, you've talking about being born again. I know I've sinned against God. I've never confessed my sin to him. What does that look like? What do I need to do? We'd be glad to chat with you and show you from Scripture, from the Bible, how you can be saved. Father, we're so grateful for your word, for being able to worship you today in this place. Father, I'm thankful for Eastwood, for their commitment, for missions, for ministry. And Father, I pray that as they go from this place today, that they would remember that the gospel is not just for them, it's not just to hold inside, but it's for us to go and be bold with, to wrestle with and struggle with. Father, I pray that they would go and share that good news of the gospel. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, today is the day they'll bow their knee, they'll confess their sin to you, and repent and call on you as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as Brother Toby just mentioned,